Our first student preacher this morning is Christian Dobbins, and I'm going to pray for Christian and each of our students as they come up. So if you'll please pray with me. Lord God, we give thanks for this opportunity to hear Christian testify about how he has seen your hand at work in his life. Bless us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would hear you speaking to us as Christian shares a bit of his story and what you've been doing there. Bless him, Lord. Ease his nerves. And, yeah, it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The passage I will be focusing on this morning is from Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, please help us to hear your words today. Help us to remember your never-ending love and compassion for all of us and to see you in the most difficult of times. Amen. I've been a Christian all my life. I've attended three different churches over the years, St. Andrew's, Moreland Presbyterian, and now Columbia. We started attending church here 4 years ago when my family moved from Portland to Vancouver. We moved as my parents were looking for a more rural setting and better schools. I wasn't really happy about the move at first, but it has turned out really well. My spiritual journey has steadily led me through the years of my life. I've gone on mission trips and been a core leader for the past 2 years, which is basically a student leader who helps out middle school youth group and other trips and various events. I consistently have gone to youth group and attended Sunday service. However, despite all this, I wouldn't call myself a devout Christian. In fact, for a while, I would say it was more routine than anything else. This year, that all changed. This year has been the hardest year of my life. A lot of people think senior year is great, that it's supposed to be a ton of fun and kind of carefree. It isn't. Senior year is a lot of work and stress. I remember specifically on the day of my AP physics test, I came dressed in track clothes and spent about 2.5 hours taking the AP test, and then I had to rush over to our meet with Camus to run the 400, 200, and 4x400 meter relay. That day was more challenging than most, but my senior year consisted of taking 4 AP classes, participating in cross country and track, and I had an internship at LSW Architects, not to mention applying for colleges and financial aid and worrying about graduation requirements. But none of these things are what caused this year to be so incredibly hard for me. Earlier this year, a little over 2 months ago now, on Sunday, March 26th, a good friend of mine, Daniel Avery, a friend I had known from track, wrestling, and cross country, committed suicide. I met Daniel in wrestling my junior year and furthered the relationship in track that same year. I also had PE with him and his twin brother, Aaron. I loved messing around with him in that class and distinctly remember our team winning gold in the power walking relay for the PE Olympics. In cross country, he was my toughest competition and also my biggest supporter, always pushing me to be better. We were always trying to beat each other because we were the top 2 JV runners and were trying for the varsity spot. I remember one race in particular. It was the first time I had actually raced Daniel because he had been having a problem with his ankle. Going out, I was in the lead for our team, but about halfway through the race, Daniel passed me. I was surprised he could keep that pace, having not been practicing with us. At the end of the race, I was feeling like I was about to pass out, typical of every single race I ran that season. And Daniel comes up to me with the biggest grin on his face and gives me a bear hug. That's the kind of person he was, always excited to get a personal record and excited for others too. I was always on the sidelines cheering him on, and he was always on the sidelines cheering me on. That is why, when I learned of his death, I was so stunned I couldn't even process it. It was sudden and jarring. It was so hard for me to believe and still is. I had no idea he was struggling. No one did. Death is always unexpected, but suicide is impossible to predict and understand. Unfortunately, it wasn't the first time I had experienced the suicide of a classmate. In middle school, a kid who rode my bus named Cameron Burton committed suicide. That was my first time experiencing such a thing, and even though I barely knew Cameron, it was sad and shocking. But not like Daniel. When it is someone you know, you think, how could I not have known? How could someone so young be in so much pain? I remember feeling immense regret that I hadn't congratulated him after his last track meet, that I didn't hug him after he had what would be his last PR in the 2 mile. All these things went through my mind in the following days and haunted my thoughts. Each time I saw Aaron, his brother, without Daniel, reality would set in a little bit more. I distinctly remember one time after practice when I was walking from the track to the parking lot. I saw Aaron walking across the field towards the school. He had a hat on and was wearing similar clothes to what Daniel used to wear, and I mistook him for Daniel. When I finally realized my mistake, it felt like I had been punched in the gut as reality set back in. In the Bible, we hear the story of the disciples. After seeing Jesus be crucified, they must have been in shock too. They too probably felt guilty about certain things that they wished they had said and done. I think I better understand what they went through. But then Jesus rose up and appeared in the flesh to them. The disciples could not believe he had risen, but it was true, and we were all blessed with the miracle of the resurrection. In my case, Daniel was not risen, but through the grace of God, I do believe one day I will see Daniel again. Perhaps then I will get to experience the disciples' joy and shock too. I hope so. When it finally came time for Daniel's funeral, I had fully accepted he was gone. This had always unfortunately been the case, but I guess I was just in denial. I didn't know that Daniel and Aaron were religious, but I found out at the funeral. It is strange to say, but it was an uplifting funeral. I mean, as uplifting as funerals can be. It was more of a memorial and a celebration of life. I couldn't imagine the pain that his family was going through, but through the service, I learned that their faith community had helped them a lot. When Aaron got up to speak, it became apparent to me how deep their faith was. Even through the pain of losing a brother, his twin no less, Aaron was able to cling to his faith, knowing that Daniel was going to a better place. Seeing how the Avery family's faith had helped them through this dark time really expanded my faith in God. It made me remember that I have someone I can rely on who is always with me and who has been beside me all my life. Knowing that I was not alone and I had someone I could turn to both through prayer and the faith community was so comforting. If you do not have the support and feel God's love, then you feel alone and lost. If Daniel's family was not religious, if they did not have that support system and belief that he was in a better place, it would have been so much harder for them to come to terms with his death. At school, I saw people who didn't have the same support and belief system I did. Those who didn't have any spiritual faith were really struggling. This may have been because of the suddenness of his passing and the lack of closure, or it may have been because it felt like there was no one to open up to and offer support. I have my faith in God, which gives me the knowledge that Daniel is in heaven and no longer suffering. I also have my family and faith community, which offered me prayer and people to talk to. During spring break, which was the week after Daniel's passing, Jim McLaughlin, who I work with as a core leader and also know from high school youth group, met with me to offer support. That kind of conversation is very difficult to have, and I know it wasn't easy for him, but he knew that's what God was calling him to do. It meant the world to me. I've never had my faith tested to this extent, but I found when I turned to God for guidance, it helped. As it says in Psalms 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, and you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This psalm is good at comforting people and letting them know they are not alone. It was read at Daniel's funeral. However, to me, it represents something more. To me, it represented how God is with us and we can confide in him in times like this when there is nowhere else to turn. It reminded me that God is always with me and that I can always turn to him. It amazes me every time I think of Daniel's family. They could have turned their back on their faith when faced with a tragedy of this magnitude. It is so hard not to be angry and ask God why he did not intervene. I know because I wrestled with that myself. I couldn't understand how God could have let this happen to Daniel. It felt like he had turned his back on him. Every time I think of this, I think of a song that was written by The Fray called You Found Me. The Fray, interestingly enough, started out as a religious band and then transitioned to do secular songs. A couple verses from their song are as follows. Where were you when everything was falling apart? All my days spent by the telephone that never rang, and all I needed was a call that never came from the corner of First and Amistad. Lost and insecure, you found me, you found me, lying on the floor, surrounded, surrounded. Why do you have to wait? Where were you? Where were you? In the song, it is evident that the songwriter was angry with God. The song talks about how God hadn't been there when you needed him the most. The question, where were you, is repeated and relays frustration and loneliness. I find myself feeling this way very often, especially during the year with the recent deaths of youth my age in our area. In addition to Daniel, we have recently lost so many. Cole Burbank, Cesar Ortiz Velasco, Sean Scott Jr., Hunter Pearson, to name a few. In times like this, it is hard to see God, but then I remember. I remember the Avery family's unwavering faith. I remember how it felt in the church during Daniel's memorial, the feeling of closeness, community, and God's love. When I reflect, I know that God was there in that church with all of Daniel's friends and family. I remember hearing that passage from Psalm 23:4. As you leave today, I hope that when you are faced with tragedy and feel abandoned, don't forget that God is there, walking beside you and waiting to shoulder whatever may come. This was one of the first deep, dark valleys I have walked through, and God was there. I imagine that in this room there are hundreds of other valleys that some of us have walked through and are still hard to think about. But God probably carried us through in ways that we still don't understand. You might be in the very bottom of a dark valley even now. Though things may seem bleak and you may feel alone and depressed, remember this. God is there and he is always there to listen and lighten your burdens if you will just trust in him. He knows what those valleys feel and look like. He is not waiting on the next peak for you to get it together. He is not wanting you to hurry up and get over it. He is walking beside you. He will stop when you need it, and he will lead you out when it is time. I hope that my story this morning can demonstrate that is true. Amen.